This is Andy Kaufman, president of the Institute for Leadership Excellence and Development Incorporated. Thank you for joining us for this special premium edition of the People and Projects podcast. You know, I trust you enjoyed the discussion with Heidi. She is a fresh voice on this topic of reaching our goals. I love the fact that she backs up her insights with research from multiple studies. And in this premium episode, I'm going to share some additional thoughts to help us personally apply the learning from Heidi. You know, before we go any further, I want you to identify something that you truly want to achieve this year. Now, whether or not you call it a resolution, it doesn't really matter to me. It's just something you want to make sure gets done or is changed before another year comes around. Now, to show you that I'm doing the same thing myself, here's an example of one of my goals for this year. I have a passion for helping people get their project management professional certification, their PMP. I know many of you have your PMP. Well, this year, I'm going to create at least 3 additional e-learning products to help people prepare for their exam. On the personal side, here's an example. I've got a goal to ride at least 1,000 miles on my new cyclocross bike. Now, if you're still thinking about what you want to select here, I encourage you to even stop this audio before continuing. Because if you keep a specific goal in mind, whether it's work-related or personal, it can just help this learning stay even more practical. So when you've got at least one nailed down, go ahead and continue. Now, for you to achieve the goal that you've selected, my guess is that lack of information is not the biggest barrier for you to achieve it. And depending on the goal you're considering, it very well might not be a confidence issue either. You know, for example, I've created plenty of e-learning offerings already. I've got a decent idea of what it takes. And I started cycling as a new hobby last year during the summer and into the fall and even into winter. So I'm comfortable with knowing that 1,000 miles is more than doable this calendar year. You see, it's not information we're lacking. The issue is coming up with a real plan that will help you and me achieve our goals. Don't we know this from project management? The issue isn't usually coming up with ideas. You know, the problem is that when the talk doesn't get broken down into a plan that's truly workable. You know, from 30,000 feet, every project's pretty straightforward, right? And so is every goal. Drop 20 pounds? No problem. In fact, I think I'll start tomorrow, right? You know, Heidi's research has found there are 2 primary threats to your project and your goals and mine. The first is we just don't get specific enough. And the other is we miss opportunities to act. So let's talk about those more. You know, on projects, getting specific can often mean decomposing the requirements into deliverables and then breaking those deliverables down into more manageable components of work, often using a work breakdown structure. Even if you're in a more agile environment, you still break work down into features or even smaller elements of work that can be combined into an iteration. Mark Horseman from the Manager Tools podcast, he defines project management as who does what by when. You know, if you need a 5-word definition, that's not too bad, actually. But compare that to a typical New Year's resolution. 3 words, lose 20 pounds, right? At best, that has a what and certainly an implied who, which would be me, but it's far from a plan. I love Heidi's if-then planning construct. As she mentioned, it aligns with how the brain works. And I found as project managers and leaders, we often think this way in our projects. It's how we think about risks, right? If a certain trigger happens, this is how we'll respond. You know, when I'm trying to lose weight, one of my big challenges is walking by the pantry. And it's not walking by, it's actually stopping there. Why? Because it's just too easy to open the door and reach my hand into a box of cereal or a bag of chips. I walk away munching some high-carb goodness with a smile, but also another couple hundred calories that were wasted, or more to the point, sent straight to my waist, I suppose. The if-then plan I have for that now is, if I walk by the pantry between mealtimes and I'm tempted to grab a snack, here's the then, I'll go to the refrigerator instead and grab some veggies to munch on. That's pretty simple, right? That's like 2 extra steps and hundreds of calories in savings. And the if-then construct works. And just so you can know me better, my Achilles heel of food comes down to salty snacks. I'm telling you, if there is an open bag nearby, I want to swan dive right into them. So one of my if-then plans is, if it's a mealtime and there's an open bag of salty snacks available, I'll have one handful. See, for me, that's so much more feasible than to say, I won't have any for the year of 2012, right? That's not going to work, but I'll have one handful. Now, the backup is, when tempted for a second handful, I'll grab some veggies instead. If, then. Once again, overly simple? Potentially. But I'll tell you, it's been really helpful since I've been employing this learning since I talked with Heidi. I found that in addition to coming up with these if-then plans, the key is that second threat that Heidi mentioned, taking advantage of really important opportunities. Now, in my interview with Kerry Patterson regarding their book Change Anything, he called these the crucial moments. His point, and it was really validated by the same research that Heidi used, is that we don't need ironclad self-control or willpower 24 hours a day, right? Well, we don't have it in the first place, but we don't need to rely on it even if we did. But we need to be responsible in those crucial moments when we're tempted to override the if-then plans. When I'm staring down those chips after one glorious handful, I'm at my crucial moment. I'm telling you, if I conquer these crucial moments, if you conquer yours, we're much more likely to reach our goals. By the way, if you missed the episodes with Kerry, I strongly recommend you add that interview and his book to your list for this year. You know, it's one thing to apply this to me and my obsession with potato chips, but what about work-related projects? I mean, it's one thing for me to say, I'm going to create those e-learning products I talked about before. But what's the plan? For the sake of time, I'm not going to go into my project plans here. But regardless of whether it's my project or yours, I'm going to tell you our project management skills are going to be a huge advantage here. I mean, you know how to take ideas and turn them into value for the business. That's what you do for a living. Continue to hone those skills for your work and personal projects. In my case, I'm targeting specific topics for specific months. I already delivered my first one here in January using a new platform named Prezi as the foundation. That experience allows me to do some analogous estimates for future projects based on what I learned on the first. For my cycling goal, we're in the process of planning at least one century ride this spring. That's 100 miles in one shot. I have a riding mentor, and he's doing most of the organizing, and at least one of my sons will ride it with me. Both of those relationships are really reinforcing, which is actually another topic that Kerry Patterson covers in Change Anything. He calls them either friends or accomplices. Who are those people that reinforce what you want to do? Those would be the friends or the accomplices. Who are those people that could actually get in the way of us achieving our goals? For that bike project, we're also planning a multiple-day ride in late summer. It's going to cover a couple hundred miles just in one long ride. But here's where the crucial moments come up. When the alarm goes off early on a spring or summer Saturday morning, when it's time to get up to train, I have a choice. Snooze, or do I go for a ride? Or for those e-learning projects I talked about, when I'm tempted to get distracted with email, let's say, or maybe a less important project, do I choose the e-learning offering work, or do I just get distracted? I can assure you that choosing distraction is way too common in my life, and I've seen the same trend with too many executive coaching clients. Choosing to be strong in our crucial moments and not miss our opportunities to act is key for you and me to reach our goals this year. How key? Well, when you embed the action in the situation with if-then planning, research has found we're 2 to 3 times more likely to follow through on our intentions. I mean, statistically speaking, that's almost unheard of as an advantage. For the goal that you're thinking about now, come up with a more detailed if-then constructed plan. And when you hit your crucial moments, think about those in advance and even come up with if-then plans for those. And if you do that, you are much more likely to end this year with the desired goal accomplished. Now, though it's different from if-then planning, don't forget about what Heidi and I talked about regarding mental contrasting. You remember that? I mean, projects suffer from the lack of this way too often, don't they? Now, we know this from project management, right? Good project initiation. It looks at business benefits, or sometimes called business needs, as well as feasibility. What do we get, and how likely are we to get it? That's certainly a big part of what project selection should be sorting through. But remember Heidi's point about how our brains tend to handle this. The further out we are from when something has to be delivered, we are far more focused on the desirability or the benefits than the feasibility. It's almost like we're saying, man, with all that time, we can do anything. And certainly given enough time and money, you can do just about anything. But time and money are limited. And it's not a matter of if there will be obstacles and challenges. It's just a matter of when. That's the realistic part of realistic optimism. And it needs to be added to the conversation when we're planning out a project or a goal. Whether it's you or your sponsor, make sure you don't fall into the trap of just optimism. I mean, mental contrasting helps us achieve realistic optimism by following something close to this process. First, ask, what's the benefit of doing this? I mean, there's variations of this, like, you know, what's great about this? How will this help us? What am I excited about? You start with that and identify one thing. And then follow that by asking, all right, what's an obstacle? What could make it difficult to achieve or deliver? What am I concerned about? You keep going back and forth between those questions, making a list of both sides of the equation. This mental contrasting helps us get into projects or goals with eyes wide open, with a spirit of realistic optimism instead of just positive, or for that matter, negative thinking. Now, if you tend to be more on the optimistic side, as I tend to be, make sure to include your walking Eeyores, you know, those people on your team who tend to see the problems and risks. I'm telling you, they will shine during this exercise. And beyond all that, on a personal level, I'd love to challenge you to reflect on Heidi's teaching regarding the be good mindset as opposed to get better. The implications of each are significant, and I have found wide-ranging. If you tend to obsess about avoiding mistakes or trying to look good, you might be suffering from the be good mindset. And as a recovering be gooder myself, I gotta tell you, I can relate. And I can tell you that it's a trap that you need to spring from. Could it be that you've been convincing yourself that you're not good at something and that mindset has been holding you back? I can't tell you how many people tell me they're a bad test taker. And that's why they haven't pursued PMP certification. I can't tell you for how many years I was convinced that I couldn't give a public presentation without passing out. Now I do it for a living. As Heidi mentioned, most of this isn't a matter of whether we're good or bad, as much as are we willing to put the work into it. I strongly recommend you spend some time understanding the difference provided by a get better mindset and setting get better goals. It gives us persistence. It reduces the anxiety that comes from trying to be perfect. It improves our performance by nearly every measure. One way to improve your performance in the weeks and months and years to come in your career is to reframe your perspective into get better instead of be good. You know, if you only have a couple hours, I recommend you start with Heidi's ebook entitled 9 Things That Successful People Do Differently. It's available from Amazon for under $4, a Kindle version. If you don't have a Kindle, you can download it on your computer using a Kindle reader for your computer. I'm telling you, it's worth far more than that $4 if you put the learning to work for you. Heidi's book, Succeed, takes those 9 lessons and really elaborates in greater detail, including the research behind the findings. Reading one of those or both and putting the learning into action will definitely make a difference in your ability to reach your goals and deliver your projects. Well, check out your premium feed for the goal planning worksheet that I've included. It's based on the lessons from Heidi's work as well as Carrie Patterson's work in the Change Anything book. At this point, I haven't put too much effort into making it beautiful as much as functional. Use it as a guide to develop better goals for this year. Let me know what questions you have, and if you would like the Microsoft Word version of the document instead of the PDF, no problem. Just contact me at andy@i-leadonline.com. Also, once you fill out the form, I invite you to pass it by me for any questions or comments. It would be my pleasure to be able to help you. Well, thank you for being a premium subscriber to the People and Projects podcast. Please let me know what questions you have and if there's anything I can do to help you lead and deliver. And thank you for joining me for this premium episode of the People and Projects podcast. Have a great week, and here's to a great year for you.